Let's prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. As we continue our series on change from the inside out. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There's always something that I forget every morning. I think I need to take some kind of vitamin or mineral that will restore my memory. But we thank God anyway. I recall the fact that I couldn't see, so that's a good thing. Romans... If you find that passage, Romans chapter 12, zoom in on verse 2, reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Writ. And the Word of God reads as follows. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to worship you through the word. We thank you for your people that are here this morning. I pray, oh God, that you will give them a focused mind, receptive heart to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray, oh God, that we will set aside the concerns that we had on our way here, that we would cast those concerns even at your feet. At your throne of grace, where we can find the grace and help and mercy in time of need, that we would cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we pray that you will sanctify this moment and sanctify our hearts and our ears, our eyes and our minds, that we may receive your engrafted word, which is able to deliver our souls. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The noetic effects of sin on the mind. The noetic effects of sin on the mind is the most underrated and untaught doctrine in the Bible. This theological truth derives from the Greek word nous, for mind. This cataclysmic event called the fall in Genesis chapter 3 records Adam, our federal head, the one that represented all of humanity, the one through whom all humanity came. Adam, our federal head, committed cosmic treason against the holy law of God in the Garden of Eden. The Adamic fall not only affected both he and Eve, but also their descendants, called the human race. And Paul reveals this truth to us in Romans 5, verse 12. He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all sin. The noetic effects of sin on the mind does not mean that fallen human beings cannot do moral, ethical, political, or social good. But it does mean that human beings, apart from the transforming truth of the gospel, cannot, I want to underline the word cannot, understand, know, and experience spiritual truth apart from transformation. Romans 8, verse 7 and 8 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God.
That's right.
For it, listen, for it does not submit to God's law.
Correct.
Indeed, it cannot. Underline that. It cannot. Those who are in the flesh, meaning unsaved, unregenerate, cannot please God.
That's right, preacher.
Let me just unfold this even further. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit. So that means everything in this book is from the Spirit.
Right.
Right? 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, 17 said, all scripture is God-breathed. So all scripture that we have, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because the scriptures are originate, finds its origin in the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
The Spirit of God. Because the natural man, to him or her, what's in this book is foolishness. He is not able to understand them because they are what? Spiritually understood or spiritually appraised, spiritually discerned.
That's correct.
Can I press it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says this. And even if our gospel is veiled, even if our gospel is covered up, it is covered to those who are perishing.
Yes, sir.
In their case, the God of this age, who is that?
Satan.
The God of this age, the God of this world system has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we ended on this last principle of transformation last Sunday, where we pick up and conclude. That third principle, real change is letting go and taking hold.
Yes, sir.
So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 as we press this point even more. Because if we're going to experience real change, number one, real change begins in new life,
yes, sir,
not turning over new leaves.
Correct.
Secondly, real change is a process, is not a destination. And we're going to conclude this today. Change is letting go and taking hold.
All right.
It's not letting go and letting God,
no,
but it's letting go and taking hold of what God has called us to take hold of. Ephesians chapter 4. If you find that, please say amen.
Amen.
Verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Is in him, and he is the truth. To put off what? Your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, because that former manner of life is corrupt through deceitful desires. And then 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on what? The new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The Holy Spirit must work in two directions in this transformation process, from the outside in and from the inside out. The Spirit works from the outside in by exposing the mind to Christ's exalting truth.
Yes, sir.
Your mind must be directed to truth. The Holy Spirit enables the believer to see the glory of the Lord.
That's correct.
This is how the mind is renewed. By steadfastly gazing at the glories of Christ for what they really are. When you look at the life of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and you see the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church, starting in Acts 2. And you read the letters of Paul, which is a revelation of who Christ is in relationship to the church. When you get a glimpse of the gloriousness of Christ and you fix your mind on that, it will cause inner transformation to take place.
That's correct.
Hebrews 12:2 says it this way, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the glory that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you can get a picture, a vision, a glimpse of that reality, you will be experiencing transformation, because that is Christ's exalting truth. Michael W. Smith wrote a song that captures this Christ exalting truth in his song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. I want to see him high and lifting up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. That's a prayer. That's a passion in the song itself, in the songwriter himself, that God will open the eyes of his heart. Yes, sir. To see what? To see this Christ exalting truth that transforms the mind. It was the Apostle Peter who recalls a mountaintop experience where Jesus took off his humanity and they saw his divinity aglow, brighter than the noonday sun. Matthew chapter 17 says that Jesus' outer appearance was changed by his inner appearance. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. They saw the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's Christ's exalting truth. And 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter begins to reflect on this experience he had with Jesus. And he said in verse 17 of 2 Peter 1, for when he received glory and honor from God the Father, when Jesus, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, surrounded Jesus on this mountain, and they heard the majestic glory, the voice that came from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And he says, we ourselves heard the very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, in Matthew chapter 17. Right. And we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention to, as a light or a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart.
Yes, sir.
This is the work he does on the inside of us.
Correct.
To get us to see this Christ exalting truth. If we desire it, if we pray for it, Lord, I want to see Jesus high and lifted up. The second direction, the Spirit works from the inside out. From the inside out, he breaks the hard heart that blinds and corrupts the mind. To what? To truth embracing humility. The mind of Christ is a mind of humility.
Yes, sir.
In Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, Paul captures this great hymn of the church in these verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was this? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to hold on to, but he emptied himself. That's humility. By taking the form of a slave, doulos, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Beloved, this is the supreme example of truth embracing humility. What do you mean, preacher? When you get a glimpse of who Jesus is, this Christ exalting truth, then that will lead you to truth embracing humility. What is that humility? that you're willing to deny yourself. That you're willing to put the interests of others before your own interests. You know you need Jesus to do that. That you will esteem others above yourself. That you are willing to serve and love others when they will not reciprocate that love and service to you. This is the kind of mind Jesus wants us to experience. Because this is the kind of mind that brings constant renewal and transformation in our walk with Christ. Christ exalting truth leads to truth embracing humility. It says in Romans 12:3, and he says, you and I should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think with sober judgment.
Yes, sir.
If the Holy Spirit only works from the outside in by presenting Christ's exalting truth to our minds, but do not break what the hard heart and making it humble, then the truth will be despised and rejected. We'll have it, but we couldn't appreciate it. We have no humility. We'll say, yeah, I see that truth, but it don't apply to me. It applies to you. That's why we need humility when truth is presented.
Yes, sir.
And if he only humbled the hard heart, but put no Christ exalting truth before the mind, there would be no Christ to embrace or to worship. So how then do we respond to the imperative in Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the command. That's the imperative. That's my responsibility, to take part with the Holy Spirit in the renewing of the mind transformation. How do we do that? We partner with the Holy Spirit in his work of renewing the mind. We pursue Christ's exalting truth, and we pray for truth embracing humility so that we can do this one thing I'm going to share with, or two things. The first thing is a daily intake, if you're filling out the outline, a daily intake of truth. Now, where is the treasure of truth? Where is the depository of truth? It's the B-I-B-L-E. For the Christian, it's the Bible. Because Jesus says it, not because we say it. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
All the words that we know that came out of God's mouth is in written form called the Bible. The divine revelation. The Bible is the self-revelation, the self-disclosure of God to us.
Yes,
so if you want a relationship with God, you have to spend time in your Bible.
Yes, sir.
You have to spend time here reading and thinking about it.
That's correct.
Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17:17, prayed this to the Father on behalf of the believer. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Then he said, your word is truth. Well, where's the Father's words located? It's in this book we call the Bible. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
If we detach ourselves from the Word of God, then we're going to be void of Christ exalting truth and true embracing humility.
Yes, sir.
Now, the first intake process, and it is a process. The first thing we do in this intake of truth, of the intake of Scripture, it comes through reading the Word of God. Reading is so fundamental, isn't it? It's fundamental, but it's ignored. It's so simple that we overlook it. In Psalm 119, 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Time reading the word brings light to the mind, captures the mind, draws the mind, feeds the mind, refreshes the mind, it restores the mind, it renews the mind, it makes the mind glad instead of sad. If you find yourself in a emotional and mental funk, it's only because you are feeding on things outside of the Word of God. You're listening to too much MSNBC, too much CNN, too much Fox. You're watching too many Netflix shows. You're spending too much time on ESPN, one and two. You know, you're just preoccupied with what's going on in the world that you have no time for the one who created the heavens and earth. It's through the word of God that we get intimate with God. And reading is the first step, isn't it? It's the first step. So reading the word. And I don't mean going through the Bible in a year. I mean going to passages that speak to you where you're at in your walk with them. Some of you may want to go to the book of Psalms. You may be dealing with depression and discouragement and anxiety. The book of Psalms is a good book for you. Because those saints were going through the same things. You may be under attack. So were they. Right? You may be confused about God's goodness in the world. Go to the book of Psalms. You'll find out they felt the same way. You will look at the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer and think something is wrong with the political system. And it is. Something is wrong with the economic system. And it is. But you won't get discouraged if you go to the Psalms. Because the psalmist says that he went into the house of the Lord after being so distressed about the rich, the wicked, and all those outside, and he got a glimpse of God.
That's right.
And he said, I feel better now because I came into the house of the Lord.
Yes,
beloved, the first step is reading the word. Reading the word. Secondly, the second intake of truth comes through studying the word. See, when you read it, you get familiar with what's in the book. Now you're in a position to study what you read. Because we don't understand everything we read. So God provides for us a way to understand what we read through the study of what we're reading. Sometimes read through the book of John 4 or 5 times just to be reading. Just read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. And the more you read it, the more you get glimpses of understanding, right? So Romans 15:4 says this, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Isn't that powerful? People looking for hope in wealth, looking for hope in health, looking for hope in pleasure, looking for hope in and vacations and food and exercise and sports. But the hope is only in the word.
That's correct.
It's in Christ. He says, what was written in the past was written for your instruction, that through them you may endure and that you may have hope. Beloved, that's through the studying of the word of God. The more you study the word of God, the more your hope is solidified.
That's correct.
The more you go through the Bible, beloved, and you see a word that you don't understand, you don't see how this applies, you pull out your Greek or Hebrew dictionary or lexicon, your Strong's exhaustive concordance, and get in there and study. Guess who will meet you there? The Holy Spirit. And he will take that time of study and he will begin to unfold in your own heart and mind the truth of that scripture you've been hearing all your life.
Yes, sir.
There's some things we've been hearing all of our lives, but we haven't gained hope from it because we don't understand what it means. That's the second process of spiritual intake, is the studying of the word of God. And through study, you gain hope, you gain strength, you gain perspective. You just don't gain a lot of facts about the Bible, you know, like a history book.
Right.
You gain the knowledge of God. And the more you gain knowledge of God, the more intimate you can become with him.
That's correct.
The more strong your faith becomes, resolute your heart becomes, because you've taken time not only to read the word, but to study it.
That's right.
To delve deep into it. And once you come up, you can breathe. You can breathe. You can exhale because Scripture has given you hope in the midst of hopelessness.
Yes, sir.
It's given you strength in the midst of weakness. It's given you encouragement in the midst of discouragement. Let me tell you one thing. Reading and studying the Word of God won't change your circumstances.
That's right.
It will change you. And you can deal with your circumstances. Isn't that wonderful? You can handle your circumstances. You can manage your circumstances. You'll be able to maneuver through your circumstances. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Oh, it's important, beloved. I don't know how to communicate it very clearly for you to really catch it and see it. But spending time in God's Word through reading and studying would do something for your soul. It'll do something for your mind. It'll do something for your heart in ways you do not understand unless you're in it. It's just like anything you study in any discipline of study, educationally speaking, you spend a lot of time in that, you will be proficient in it and it will be sufficient for you. And you will develop the skills and the expertise you thought you could never possess. But because you gave yourself to that particular discipline, you are now disciplined in it.
Yes, sir.
And it disciplines you.
That's correct.
Beloved, that's a transformation in and of itself. So how do we intake the Word of God? Number one, through reading the Word. Secondly, through studying the Word. And thirdly, meditating on the Word. Yes, meditating on the Word of God. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. On two occasions. I only think of him on two occasions. That's day and that's night. And that's what the psalmist says. I think of God on two occasions, day and night. I meditate, I delight in his revelation of himself. Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. I want you to hear this. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Oh, my God. How many times do we forget what we hear? Some say we only hear what? 15% of what is said or 20% of what is said? You know why we forget? We don't think about it. We don't relish it. Because anything you hear that you like, you don't forget. Anything that caused delight, you always remember. Whatever it is in life. Well, that's how it should be with the Word of God for the Christian. Right? I'm not talking to the sinner. I'm talking to the Christian. The Christian must cultivate a Christ-like mind through the studying, the reading, and the meditation of God's Word.
Yes, sir.
Meditation is not emptying the mind of thought. That's Buddhism and Hinduism. Empty the mind of all thought. But meditation in the Bible is to fill the mind with the thoughts of God.
Yes, sir. All right.
I think Hosea said it, the people of God perish because of a lack of knowledge of God. They had a lot of knowledge. It just wasn't of God. Saints have a lot of knowledge today. We have Google. We Google. We ask Google questions. And Google responds. Don't understand. Don't compute. Then we throw the question another way so Google can understand. You can ask a lot of questions to Google, but Google isn't God. Google doesn't have all the answers. And what Google does is just go through a database of information and draw from it and just repeat what was already input inside the computer. God has all knowledge, past, present, and future. He doesn't consult with anyone about what is or what will be or what should be. He already knows. And this is the one that we need to get intimate with, the one who knows the beginning from the end. And everything in the middle.
Yes, sir.
We need to establish a relationship with a person with that kind of information, that kind of know-how, that kind of expertise, so that we can walk wisely in this world.
Yes, sir.
You know, the psalmist prayed. He said, Lord, order my steps according to your word.
Yes, sir.
According to your word. So meditation is feeding on the word of God, replacing my thoughts with God thoughts, rethinking my thoughts anew with his thoughts. And it's this continual thinking about what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to think about what God has said, you must challenge your own thinking process.
Yeah.
You must challenge your own value process. You have to compare your thoughts with God's thoughts and see if they line up.
All right.
If they don't, you replace your thoughts with his. Some of us see God's thought and our thoughts. We get rid of God's thought and go with our thought. Do what we want to do. You're going to short circuit the renewing process. Whenever you encounter your thought and your thoughts in conflict with his thought, do what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. That's the best approach. At that point, you're going to experience a renewing process that's going to give you a new vision, a new passion, and a new energy to run this race of faith. You read, you study, you meditate on the Word of God. Fourthly, the intake of truth comes through memorizing the Word. I hear you. Memorizing the word. This is where we all fall down. We blame age, we blame diet, we blame all kinds of stuff on why we can't memorize anything, but we can. It's very simple when it comes to the word of God. Memorize those things that are important to you. You'll never forget it. But if I have to memorize something that's important to the next person, I may not remember it. If I memorize something that's important to me and my walk and where I'm at in my life circumstance, I'll never forget it. Psalm 46:1, I'll never forget it. What did it say? See that? You will never forget that verse if you make it personal to you. Psalm 46:1. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You'll never forget that because it's meaningful to you. See, when you go to the Word of God, go to the verses that are relevant and meaningful to you, to what you're experiencing at that moment. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He went to verses that was applicable to the attack.
Yes, sir.
He could have quoted a lot of scripture. He could have revealed scripture that wasn't even written, right? But he went to the Old Testament and drew from that because of the context in which he was in. What context you find yourself in today? Go to the scripture and see the scriptures that meet that context. And then memorize that scripture. How do you memorize? You write it down. You read it. And sometimes you get your post-it and you stick it on your mirror when you get up and wash your face. It's there. When you go to the refrigerator to get your food, it's there. And you rehearse it. You read it. You speak it aloud, you say it, and sooner or later it clicks and it won't go away. See, memorization in the Bible is not just memorize all the verses you can remember, because it's not meaningful to do that. Memorize the verses that you need to fight in the battle of faith. What are you struggling with? Find passages that relate to the fight of faith. To the struggle. You struggle with trying to keep your mind together, trying to experience peace. Well, go to those passages that talk about the peace of God. If you're struggling with how to be loving and kind to someone who's unloving and unkind, then go to those passages that speak about being loving and kind. If you find yourself in a situation you don't feel like you're going to press through, you're going to make it to the finish line, you feel like giving up and giving out and giving in, go to passages that deal with endurance. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The best way to improve your memory is to make what you memorize relevant to how you're living and to what you're going through as a Christian. That's how you renew your mind in this battle, this fight of faith. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have stored or treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That was relevant for him. Because the question above that was, how can a young man or a young woman keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. How you take heed according to the word? Memorize it. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
I don't want nothing to break our fellowship.
Yes, sir.
To weaken my passion for holiness. So I memorize those verses are relevant to my context. Right? It's the best way to experience this continual renewing process that the Holy Spirit produces in the heart and mind of the believer. Psalm 37, verse 31 says, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. That's incredible. That's incredible. Because many of us in the Christian experience say, well, I slipped into that and I slipped into that. I fell into this and I fell into that. Did you really? Or did you choose it? Because you wanted it. Because you didn't store up anything. You didn't treasure eternal things above earthly things. You didn't treasure the spiritual over the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't treasure obedience over disobedience.
Yes,
you didn't treasure the spirit over the flesh. You treasured what you wanted.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you get, what you treasure. Didn't Jesus say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. What are you treasuring as a follower of Jesus Christ? What do you value as a follower of Jesus Christ? That's going to determine the capacity of your ability to memorize his word. This is not random memorization. This is not shotgun memorization. This is not a Bible drill. This is storing and treasuring the word of God, those passages, those verses that helps me to live a pure life.
Yes, sir.
To live a holy life. To live a God-honoring life. Look, if you don't think about being holy, guess what? You will not be holy. If you don't think about being obedient to God, guess what? You will not be obedient to God. Beloved, irrational thoughts produce irrational behavior every time.
Yes, sir.
So if you are intentional in your relationship with God, as you are intentional in your relationship with other people, then you should make his word a priority. And memorization is making the word applicable to the context in which you are struggling. Fifthly, the intake of truth comes through hearing the word of God. It comes through hearing the word of God. And may I just say this word hearing, akouo, basically has with it the intent to obey what one hears. It's just not mere audibility or just audibleness. It's an intention behind hearing. When you sit in a classroom listening to a lecture or a teacher going over the lesson, you are listening. You should, as students, listen with an intent to do it. When your parents are instructing you, you should listen with an intent to do it. When your boss comes to you on the job and says, you know, I want you to do this instead of that, you should listen with an intention or intent to do it.
Yes, sir.
That's the kind of hearing we need when it comes to the Word of God. Not this kind of casual, yeah, I heard what he said. Yeah, the preacher's supposed to say that. Yeah, that's what they do. You know, they just say stuff. No. We just don't say stuff.
No.
We say what God has said.
Yes, sir.
And we leave it up to you, the listener, to make a decision about what you've heard. But you got to hear with an intent to obey. Well, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing the words of Christ.
Yes,
see, this kind of hearing is not just audible, it's intentional. You listen with an intent to believe. You listen with the intent to obey. You listen with the intent to confess. You listen with the intent to respond favorably to the Word of God and to the message of faith. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself.
Yes, sir.
Hearing is so important because we do it all the time. We hear and don't hear. But we hear so much that we think we didn't hear. And then over time, recall comes. And we go, man, I heard that before. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that moment?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My mama told me that. Yeah. I heard the preacher say that when I was so many years old. Yeah. Yeah. I heard my friend said that. I heard that. But you're just recalling something that took place in the past, not in the present. You should presently be hearing God because God speaks to us presently.
That's correct.
He spoke to the fathers in the Old Testament through the prophets various ways. But in these last days, Hebrews 1, he speaks through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's correct.
Whom he made the heir of all things. And so, beloved, he is presently speaking to you.
Yes.
The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? It was this apologist, Harry Blumeris, and he states that the Christian mind is the prerequisite for Christian thinking. And Christian thinking is the prerequisite for Christian action. See, the Christian shouldn't think he must know the Bible just to know the Bible. He or she should know the Bible to know God, to get intimate with God, to experience God as you live life. Not just to be a theologian, theoretically speaking, but to be a practical theologian where you know God to apply that truth of God to life. Now, when you get intake, automatically output comes.
That's correct.
And that's the second point and the last point. We need a daily intake of truth, which is scripture, but we need a daily output of love, which is obedience. Isn't it?
Uh-huh.
A daily output of love is obedience to the truth. To what truth? The truth that we read about, the truth that we studied, the truth that we meditated on, the truth that we memorized, and the truth that we heard. But if we're not studying the word, reading the word, meditating, memorizing, hearing, what truth can we respond to? There is no truth to respond to unless you are doing one of those things. Because a daily intake of truth, which is scripture, brings about a daily output of love, which is obedience to the truth. Jesus said it this way, John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
Go to 2 and 3 John. That's in the back of your Bible towards the book of Jude in Revelation. This is the second letter of John. And then there's the third letter of John. And there's the first letter of John towards the book of Revelation. Different than the Gospel of John. We need a daily output of love. We got to have truth and we got to have love. We can't have either love by itself or truth by itself. We got to have truth and love.
Yes, sir.
If you just have truth, you'll be judgmental, critical, legalistic, dogmatic. Right? If you just have truth. But if you just have love, you'll be what? Just have love. Now you'll be like that parent. I love my child so much, I'm going to let them do anything they want to do. Permissive. Licentious. Loose. Free. Whatever you want to call it. Neither is good. Love by itself is not good. Truth by itself is not good. But truth and love together. Woo-wee. You have a mental balance, an emotional balance, and a balance in your lifestyle. Truth and love comes together. And 2 John verse 4 and verse 6. He says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children, speaking of believers, walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And verse 6 says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it.
Yes, sir.
Love demands truth, and truth demands love. And they must come together if the Christian is going to experience that constant renewing of the mind. The last verse, 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Because, beloved, that's why you should know truth. So you can express it through love. T.W. Hunt states, genuine conversion means a change of life, and especially a change with our attitude towards sin. Truth transforms the heart and the mind. And that transformation is expressed in a lifestyle that pleases God.
That's correct.
It was John Newton, a former slave trader, who was wondrously transformed by the grace of God. He also wrote the words to one of the most beloved hymns of the church. You know it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Save the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now that's a slave trader, beloved. He was trafficking through kidnapping our ancestors across the Atlantic Ocean. And the grace of God gripped him as he saw the slaves in a pitiful, ungodly state. He also penned these words prior to his departure from this life to the next. He captures in this poem the process of transformation. And I just want you to repeat this after me, because I think it's appropriate for each of us. I am not what I want to be.
I am not what I ought to be.
I am not what one day I will be.
But I am not what I was.
And by the grace of God,
I am what I am.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the transforming power of your truth. Thank you for the gospel that called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is there to take your revealed truth, the Bible, and make it real in our souls and minds and hearts, and give us the power and ability to walk in it each day, so that your light and your life and your love can shine through us to those who do not know you. Thank you that your truth transforms. And your truth empowers us to love like you love, unconditionally and sacrificially. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We want to see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour down upon us your power and your love as we pray. Holy, holy, holy. In his blessed, risen, and exalted name we pray. Amen.